the Gibraltarians, I got on reasonably well because we had Gibraltarian staff at the power station.
Yes.
In fact, one of our labourers, he was built like Man Mountain Morn. He was a Spanish heavyweight wrestling champion, but he was also the bouncer at Trocadero. Mm-hmm. And one night before my wife came out, him and my mate and I went there, and suddenly my feet were off the ground, and he picked the pair of us up by the scruff of the neck and said, "Not for you, it's a naughty place." And he chucked us out. And that there was a guy there who used to sing Spanish song. This guy in Trocadero, this solo opera singer, he used to sing Malaguena and all this. Oh, it was hopeless.
And lots of people have mentioned the Trocadero.
Used to be Tamlin Trent's. Yeah. Tamlin Trent.
Tell us about the Trocadero.
Well, no, it was.
What was it like when you went in there?
It was rowdy.
It wasn't too bad. It's not well set up. Yeah. It had this raised stage which the young ladies used to perform.
Dance and all that sort of thing. A bit slightly undressed, but never mind. Yeah. But it was.
I got to know a couple of them. One girl, her family lived in Malaga.
Yeah.
And I had a car and we were going up that way, and she came up and introduced three of us to her family, and we had a great weekend, you know, with the family in Malaga.
Yeah.
But I joined the Freemasons in Gibraltar, and obviously I got to know a lot of people. My wife used to dread it on a Saturday going downtown because I'd suddenly get whipped off into a bar saying, "Come on, have a beer." Yeah. But as Noah said, there was prices in Gibraltar. There was a Russian whaling fleet's price, the Yankee fleet's price, our fleet's price, us. Non-sort of locals price and Gibraltarian price. There's five prices for everything.
Mm.
And when the Russians came in, they used to get all these tapestry carpets. Gibraltar used to get wiped out with them. They just take them back to Russia because apparently it was.
So the Spanish used to bring them into Gibraltar.
Yeah, bring them in. They used to get dated. Quarter to four.
Yes, okay.
And that's what used to go on. And I found people. I was a member of the Gibraltar Football Club.
Yep.
We used to have horse racing on Saturday nights, magnetic horse racing. And we had we had a very good social life. And
and tell me a bit more about your friendship with the locals, the Gibraltarians.
Well,
apart from being thrown out by your friend.
Right. I say the Masonics, half the crew of my power station were Masons, so we got to invited our other places, and they were very nice. I mean, yeah, there was a bit of animosity at times, but
was that surely because of the size of the military? And
I think it possibly was.
I think if what we used to do as military out there happened here, you know, it would be worldwide news, and we'd all be in the.
Yeah.
But they knew we were producing. Keeping the rock going by producing power.
Yeah.
They were tunneling away,
yes.
Making things and life a lot easier. As Norman said, we used to go around to Catalan Bay on a Sunday, sit on the beach, and little old lady come across, tea, and she'd bring out the teapot cups on the tray of the lot for a few pesetas on the beach. And it was their little business, which we.
Very thought, Coletta Bay, everybody said that they were from Genoa originally.
Yeah. They didn't mix with the rest of the Gibraltarians.
Mm.
Well, they ran the rock out of the way.
Mm. And if you got to know them, you know they were quite
nice,
friendly. And when we were working around that side of the rock, yeah, we got to know them quite well. And they were.
But they used to keep themselves separate from the main.
They keep themselves separate from the main Gibraltarians in the city, as they called it. You know, that was around the corner.
The only thing we found. Was water was a problem.
Yeah.
And one time we came off shift, we were covered in oil and grease, and no water. And fortunately, our local National Service doctor, Captain Ball, I used to play water polo with him, he said, "Is this all over that?" And I said, "Yes, it does." And sea troop weren't so bad, tunneling through. It was mainly dust with them, but ours was oil and grease. So after that, we never had our water cut off. He insisted that you can't do this to our troops.
Mm.
The Gibraltarians kicked up a fuss. He said, "Look, these men are doing a job. Yeah, they're keeping you supplied. Yeah. They're running your homes, the electricity."
We would go in for a swim when we came off.
They could. Well, we couldn't. Because we were in a hole in the ground, literally.
The salt water soap with us.
No, that was...
And didn't the power station move from Culpe up to the Rock to Windy Hill?
No, I went, well, no, Windmill Hill was a subsidiary of Culpe.
Yeah.
It was a smaller one than us, and it was we used to bring them in when we needed extra load.
Extra power.
But we still had a full crew on shift, round the clock.
Right.
So we were all shift workers, which, as Norman said, it's unusual for a military unit to have this kind of situation. We were unique in that respect. In that.
Yes, because you kept the civilian
populace happy or unhappy, depending on what happened. But,
and tell me about that prisoner of war barracks. What was
it
that?
Was the actual original military jail.
Where was this?
On top of Windmill Hill, above Europa. And it was quite old, because it was the same stone as the casements. So whether it was built during the Napoleonic times, possibly was, but they knocked it down because there was no need for it anymore. Mm. And it released an awful lot of space.
I'm just saying, the Nick was up at Moorish Castle.
Yeah, the Moorish Castle was a jail.
Moorish Castle was the jail, or
yes.
Military jail.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's where my engine driver got his month.
Right, okay.
But then...
and that was administered by the military?
Yeah, it was RMP.
And did you go into Spain very much, tell us?
Not really, because with a new baby, it was a bit difficult. Yeah. We went to Algeciras once. We were invited there by a Jewish couple who met my parents when they came out to visit us. And it turned out he was a con artist. He took my father for a load of dosh.
Yeah.
He tried to get the out of me and all, but...
You're doing what?
Selling shares.
Ah.
Dodgy shares.
Mm.
He came out with the usual patter of they were in a Dachau concentration camp. They were Jewish and all this. They were Jewish, but you've got all kinds of people out there in Spain.
Yeah,
it's one of the things about that I didn't realise so much when I was there, but certainly since going back, the number of different religions on Gibraltar that all get on very well together.
Yes. That's really interesting, because we had several people saying. The relations between Protestant, Catholic, and particularly Jewish.
Well, I one of my clerks at the power station.
Of course, you also got the Arab.
But we had a Jewish clerk in our power station office, Mito Hassan, and a bit younger than me. And before my wife came out, he used to invite me to the Jewish social club Friday nights. But he used to give Saturday, should I say? He used to give me the money on Friday to buy the beers on Saturday, because they wouldn't touch money. And they were very lovely people. They were
had so many stories about how the relations between the Jewish and particularly the predominant Catholic local populace, and stories like that as well.
I mean,
you see it every weekend if you go there now, because the synagogue and the Catholic church and the Protestant churches are all very close together, and they all come walk down together, disappear into their church, then all come out in congregate and go off and get a meal.
My grandfather could not understand that there was Catholics in the Freemasonry, but in Gibraltar there were. It's not done in Britain, or never used to, but they had a big Jewish lodge, and it was done in Yiddish. But if you knew the ritual, you could follow it. You didn't have to speak Yiddish to follow it. Or Spanish. We had a Moroccan lodge. I mean, it's only a small little building, but we all got on very, very well. And I since haven't bothered with the masonry, but that's another story.
So how long were you there?
I was exactly 3 years.
3 years.
April 60, April 63.
And didn't you find, along with your other service personnel, didn't you find it was a bit small, claustrophobic or what?
No, actually my wife said this comment. She never found it like that. I mean, as Norm said, they used to go across the border to play rugby. I used to play hockey across the border, and I got to know a couple of cavalry captains, and I found out I was getting more money as a corporal than they were as captains in the Spanish army. But we used to get on.
There were people who, and it was, I mean, I was single at the time, and it was a single man's problem. They used to get rock happy, and they definitely did. Affect them, the fact that it was so small.
And female company.
There wasn't a huge amount. There weren't very many British soldiers married Gibraltarians.
No.
Two were, I think, were two in the squadron.
The other one was
Sam Floyd Butler and Mick.
Yeah, to marry a Spanish girl, it was a process, a good 6 month process, mm-hmm. where the Spanish police used to investigate her background and our previous to ours, because there were certain young ladies of the night who were marrying for a meal ticket,
which
goes in any situation. I mean, when I wanted to get married, I asked permission, and I wanted the banns had to be produced in Gibraltar, and the consulate chap said, no way, he hasn't been investigated. My colonel said, he's an Englishman, marrying an English girl in England. He's nothing to do with you.
Did you get married in Gibraltar?
No, not at home.
Okay.
No. But they did a 6 month in-depth investigation, especially the Spanish girls, because they didn't want any problems.
No.
But there were very few soldiers married Gibraltarian girls.
Mm.
There was this sort of
thing, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, I don't know why. Well, Spanish girls, there were a few married Spanish, didn't
there? Quite a few.
Corporal Farthing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was quite.
And did you have fun on the rock? You were talking about.
Sports wise, yeah, we had so much sport going on.
Mm.
I used to play hockey, basketball, water polo. I used to swim for the regiment. Tug of war, gig rowing, whaler rowing.
We worked for row whalers.
Yeah. You name it, we did it.
And during the summer, did you work in the afternoon? Or you were on shift work?
I worked on shift, period.
The
squadron worked shift.
Yeah, so it wasn't like the infantry knocked off at 2 o'clock, wasn't it, or something like that? The only problem was, when my marriage quarter, I was on shift, the infantry battalion were playing their band practice, his lot were blowing up Keighley Way, so between bands and detonations, I didn't get much sleep during the day, and my son, being a baby, crying his eyes out. So we had fun.
And was there much discipline? I know you had all your work to do, and it sounded fairly relaxed. What was the military discipline like? What was your warrant officer, or your, you know, was there inspections?
We very sort of seldom saw him. You see, because being shift workers, one day we used to carry ammunition boxes, empty ammunition boxes with our bits and pieces in. So one day he suddenly decided to inspect our ammo boxes. It was our grub, rations, you know, our sandwiches and all that. And of course, he opened them up, and we all had comic cuts in, Desperate Daddy, you know, Playboy magazines.
Decided better not to.
And he said, oh, that was it with him. But he was very, I had a clerk who works W01 and a clerk who works W02, but they're not disciplinarians, really.
It was technical.
We're all technical.
Yeah.
We're purely technical. And, you know, it's what we did. We had a chap called Cock Massetti was our senior sparky. He must have long passed away by now, but he was damn good. And he ran the electrical side. We had a Spanish. Bonfiglio was the fitter. Foreman, I remember him, his name's going back. Yeah. But they were very good.
There was an English guy out called Quinlan. You don't remember him, do you?
We had P&T04, Eric Harris was one of the shift engineers, the non military.
Yeah.
The rest were all corporals.
Yeah.
And but he was the only civilian we had. Mm. And but the rest were, you know, mixture of army and civilians, and we all got on very well.
Good.
We had a little kitchen where the monkeys used to come down and raid, and we had a Scouse national serviceman who was excused everything. He used to wear slippers, so he was excuse me. He was bigger than Norman, and that sometimes you'd hear his screams, he'd be out there with a meat cleaver chasing the apes. For nicking the food, and what he didn't understand it. He chased one down through the kitchen door, the others would be through the kitchen window stealing. He hadn't got the sense to shut the bloody window.
It sounds to me like Reynolds,
but he was a great fella,
yeah.
And he hated the army. It was an awful thing, the language he used to use. And when he went home, he was crying, he didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
We got together, you know, as a bunch of lads, we're all happy-go-lucky.